next weekend, something special is going to happen, at least special here in Plymouth. We are having a special weekend so that we might particularly have a chance to reach out to friends and to neighbors, which we want you to do. Saturday, we're having our Super Saturday Vacation Bible School 2 weeks before school start. I don't know, I had this thought that maybe 2 weeks before school starts, most parents would be home preparing their kids for school. If that's true or not, I don't know. We're going to find out. But invite your own children. Invite your grandchildren. Invite your children's friends and friends of friends. Invite your neighbor children. Let's fill up this building for our Vacation Bible School. And then Sunday, we have Friends and Family Day. That means we're going to do what? We're going to invite friends and family. I was told we could seat 200. If you invite more, I'll sit on the floor. I don't care. Please, let's fill up this building because we want to share Jesus Christ with our friends and family. Without Jesus, this world is lost. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about a need that all human beings have, and the majority don't even realize it. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and are not good enough for God's glory. And we in Jesus Christ are going to help people find this need and tell them what to do about it. The New Testament meaning of sin can only be seen from the Old Testament background. The fullest and profoundest discussion of human nature in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. The story of creation and of the first sin. In these chapters, God discusses a paradox of human nature. Humankind has both greatness and wretchedness. Has both majesty and misery. According to Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God made them male and female. He made them in the image of God, and He appointed them Lord of His creation here upon this earth. This is the greatness of humankind. But according to Genesis 2 and verse 7, the first man was made from the dust of the earth with all the weakness of clay. And the story unfolds as we see that mankind is subject to temptation, to sin, to sickness, and even to death. This is the wretchedness of the human condition. For all the greatness of humankind, life derives from God, and He's dependent upon the Creator for everything. God reveals the paradox of dominion and dependence of human beings. Of all the competing worldviews, only the biblical doctrine of creation and the fall account for this dual nature of humanity. Our aspirations, our ideas, our moments of greatness, yet are falling short, filled with frustrations and failures. In the first couple, we see every man and woman of earth. And we are today going to look at four great realities of human nature that we find in the book of Genesis. First, the great reality of human nature revealed in Genesis 3 is the experience of temptation. Temptation came to Eve through three avenues. We read in chapter 3, verse 6, she saw that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Scripture elsewhere has the same threefold expression of sin. John, 1 John 2:16 says, these are the ways of the world. wanting to please our sinful selves, wanting the sinful things we see, and being too proud of what we have. None of these come from the Father, but all of them come from the world. Even Jesus in the desert was tempted in three different ways. All three examples of temptation relate to pleasures, to possessions, and to the prestige of this world. Behind all the avenues through which temptation comes to a person lies a basic temptation made clear in Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 5. That is the temptation to deny our creaturely status and to rebel against the Creator. We desire the creation, but we deny the Creator. We want to live life on our terms. What did the serpent promise Eve? You will be like God. Genesis 3:5. And this is the fundamental temptation. We want to be our own God. Our exalted position in creation, we do have dominion over the world, might help us to be more susceptible to the desire to be like God. And the Bible teaches this was the downfall of Satan. The reality of temptation reveals another reality. That is the freedom of will. Without freedom to choose, there would be no temptation. This basic biblical principle maintains human responsibility to resist sin and its influence. The fact is that human beings do not master the sin that lurks before the door. As God told Cain just before he killed his brother, he needed to do. Instead, as Cain, we yield to temptation and we sin against God. The second great reality of human nature is manifested also in Genesis 3, is the experience of sin. The experience of Adam and Eve is the experience of every man and woman on this earth. All have sinned. Romans 5:12 says, sin came into the world because of what one man did. And with sin came death. This is why everyone must die, because everyone sinned. Every man is his own Adam, and every woman is her own Eve. Basic to human sinfulness is the failure to acknowledge God as God. Romans 1:21 says, they knew God, but they did not give glory to God or thank Him. Their thinking became useless. Their foolish minds were filled with darkness. And if you don't believe this, turn on the news. Doesn't matter what time, morning, afternoon, or evening news, you see the wretchedness of mankind on the television. What is involved in sin, according to the biblical description, may be summed up in the word disobedience. God has told us how human beings need to live to be joyful, happy creatures. And when we go against Him, we are disobedient. We are guilty of what the Bible calls lawlessness. Charlie, if you decided to go out and break the law, and openly break the law, who's going to visit you? The police. Because what is the police for? To keep the law. And so, that is our basic sin. We live lawlessly according to the commands of God. Sin is to disobey God's laws. And so therefore we all have sinned. Or have we all obeyed every command of the Lord? As the presence of temptation demonstrates free will, the practice of sin awakens the conscience. Conscience is that feeling of an inward pain when we have done that which is wrong. There are some things that God has given us innately that when we do things, we know they are wrong without ever being taught. But most things that we do wrong, we are taught. And this knowledge came to Adam and Eve. The conscience of doing good and of doing evil. Conscience is first of all a monitor that reproves past actions. And as a consequence of this, may serve to guide us in future moral choices. Conscience is informed by teaching and past experience. Although moral codes may differ in cultures, the capacity to feel guilt and to make moral judgment is common to all people. The conscience is a latent capacity that is awakened when we transgress God's laws. For Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed the commands of God and they ate of the tree, they saw themselves as naked and they tried to hide from God. And we still today react in the same way when we sin. We try to hide from God. Our response may be more sophisticated, but our excuses are still only fig leaves before God. In Hebrews 4:13 we read, "Nothing in all the world can be hidden from God. Everything is clear and lies open before Him. And to Him we must explain the way we have lived." That awaits every man and every woman to go before God and explain why we did the things we did. When Adam and Eve were found out, they do what we still tend to do today. They try to escape their responsibility by blaming others. "Adam, why did you sin? You're the one that gave me this wife. She's the one that brought me to sin." And when he went to Eve, "Hey, that serpent. The serpent is the one." We like to blame others. Instead of facing up to our moral responsibility, our own free will, we tend to blame others. Here is demonstrated the universal human dilemma. We're capable of good. We know better. Yet we don't live up to it. Here is the twofold nature of human beings. We are made in the image of God. And we are made of the dust of the earth. Sin brings on punishment. As a consequence of sin, there is a third reality of human nature found in Genesis chapter 3. The experience of punishment. Punishment for sin is inescapable. You will be found out. If not by the police, if not by earthly signs of government, then by God Himself on the judgment day. The punishment of the woman is stated in Genesis 3:16. "Then God said to the woman, 'I will cause you to have much trouble when you are pregnant. And when you give birth to children, you will have great pain. You will greatly desire your husband, but he will rule over you.'" The punishment of the woman is not childbirth. That was something God had commanded before the first sin. But it was the pain of childbirth. And in spite of bearing children, the woman's desire will be for her husband, the Bible teaches. And her husband will be given the rule over her in marriage relationship. Similarly, the punishment of the man was not work itself, but the circumstances that accomplish work, accompany work. After the fall, work involved toil. Toil produces sweat. And we are told the soil would bring forth thorns and thistles, as well as the food. And I don't know why, but Mari and I seem to be real good at raising thorns and thistles. Pain in this world is the result of sin. It is not part of God's original plan of creation. Adam and Eve received more punishment, though. They were put out of the garden. They were separated from the tree of life. The ultimate punishment for sin was death. Verse 19 of Genesis 3 says, to man, you will sweat and work hard for your food. Later you will return to the ground because you were taken from it. You are dust, and when you die, you will return to dust. Human beings, do we not go to great lengths to stay young and beautiful and not to die? We take vitamins. We take medicines. We go to doctors to prolong our lives. Men and women both go to doctors to keep the skin tight. And I always thought it kind of strange using a shot and putting in poison to get rid of wrinkles. I thought, why would people put poison in themselves to get rid of wrinkles? But that's what they do. We want to be young. We want to be beautiful. We want to be eternal. It's our nature. But we are from the dust of the earth. Human beings, yes, we go to great lengths not to die. When the Spanish, or some of the Spanish conquistadors came to the Americas, what were they seeking besides gold? The fountain of youth. We see this wish to stay young is old. I guess as old as man. But the Bible teaches it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Another reality about punishment is not only is physical punishment thought of, but spiritual punishment as well. Spiritual death. So spiritual death is also a fact and reality of mankind. Spiritual death involves a separation from God. And the second death is a final, full separation from the God of creation. Man who thought he wanted to do away with God and not have God will one day get his wish and will be fully separated from the God of grace and mercy because he has chosen this avenue. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If this story were to end here, truly miserable would be mankind. But lucky for us, the story does not end this way. God would not let it end this way. He would not let Satan win. He would not let mankind destroy itself completely. There is another end to the story. After this great reality of punishment comes another great reality, that of hope and redemption. When God placed his curse upon the serpent, in Genesis 3:15, he made a promise. He said, one of her descendants will crush your head and you will bite his heel. From the standpoint of the coming of Christ, it is possible to see a fullness of meaning here, a meaning that wasn't understood in the Old Testament, a meaning that has been fully understood in the New, in Jesus Christ. Since Christ has come, we know how humanity will prevail over the serpent. Humanity triumphs over temptation and sin and punishment through one man, the offspring of woman, Jesus Christ. Although bruised by the strikes of Satan, Christ crushed the head of the foe. Satan put Jesus on the cross. And when Jesus gave his last breath, I'm sure Satan and the demons and the angels started rejoicing. They probably had a 3-day party. They were celebrating. They won. But then came the third day. And God rose Jesus from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the punishment that was meant for us. Christ crushed the head of Satan. Yes, he was bitten, but he crushed the head of Satan that we might rejoice in heaven, that we might overcome the punishment and the guilt of sin. Although bruised, Christ was victorious in the end. Human beings triumphed over evil through what Paul in the Bible calls the new Adam, the perfect man. Jesus lived perfectly as God had intended man to live. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 45. It is written in the Scripture, the first man, Adam, was a living person. But the last Adam was a spirit that gives life. The spirit did not come first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man came from the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. People who belong to the earth are like the first man of earth, but those people who belong to heaven are like the man of heaven. Just as we were made like the man of earth, so we will also be made like the man of heaven. Where Adam was a being of dust, brought death, the new Adam, Jesus, came from heaven, and with him he brought life eternal. Paul puts it this way, this is Romans 5, verse 15 and verse 17, but God's free gift is not like Adam's sin. Many people died because of the sin of that one man. But the grace from God was much greater. Many people received God's gift of life by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. One man sinned, and so death ruled for all people because of that one man. But now those people who accept God's full grace and the great gift of being made right with Him will surely have true life and rule through the one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the real man, the true man. He was what human beings were supposed to be. He is the typical representative person, the leader of the new humanity, conformed to the Creator's plan. He's all that God meant to be when He created us. And God has given us the right and the privilege to put Jesus Christ on. We no longer have to be burdened by sin. Sin makes you a slave to Satan, a slave to this world, a slave to death. It is a heavy burden, the guilt that we must carry. But Jesus Christ can release you from that burden. He can clean you of your sins and of the guilt. He can make you new. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. Paul says, you were all baptized into Christ, and so you were all clothed with Christ. This means that you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. In Christ, there is no difference between Jews and Greeks, slaves and free persons, male and female. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ, or you are Abraham's descendants. You will inherit all of God's blessing because the promise God made, that God made to Abraham. Did you hear that? The curse that God had put on Adam and Eve has been removed. No longer will the wives be subject to their husbands because there's no difference between husbands and wives, male and female. This is in Christ Jesus. God is calling you to be a part of His new creation. He wants you to be a part of the perfect man, Jesus Christ. He wants to add you to His church. He wants your salvation. He wants to remove the pain and the guilt of sin. You will no longer be a slave, but free because of Jesus Christ. Will you not come as we stand and sing?